Jingcheng Ho. I'm research assistant in Cambridge Service Alliance.
Jingcheng Ho, thank you very much indeed for talking to the Cambridge Service Alliance podcast series today. We're looking at your report, Supplying Innovation, Unlocking Innovative Behaviours in the Supply Chain. Welcome. First of all, what is the problem you're trying to solve in the supply chain?
As you can see from the title of the report, supply innovation is the focus of my study. So the problem I'm trying to solve is that many companies, they are missing a huge range of innovation opportunities from the supply chain. So from the perspective of the company, they may have internal innovation programs, but these programs still generate expected value, and they are missing a huge range of opportunities to generate innovative ideas with suppliers and with other industries. And also the customers sometimes cannot get the best services and solutions due to that. And also the whole supply chain is not efficient enough because they sometimes need to go back and forth for several times to discuss the final solutions to be delivered to the end customer.
So a supply chain can be a very complex thing. People have these relationships over many years. They can be global in nature. They can involve big corporate companies and small sole traders, I presume. But who has the responsibility for innovation? If I had a good idea and I was a supplier to a client, how would I feed that good idea into the chain?
I would say every player in the supply chain has a responsibility for innovation. It's not only several tiers of suppliers, but also the client company. And also if there are companies who have really strong innovation capabilities, they may not be the traditional players in the supply chain, but if they have the innovation capabilities that are required by the supply chain, we don't have reason to exclude these companies out. We need to bring them in for innovation.
The responsibility rests with the commissioner of the services.
Oh yes, I think so. So basically they will deliver the service and solution to end customers. So all the stakeholders and players in the supply chain need to be involved.
Are outcome-based contracts for suppliers helpful?
Yes, I think outcome-based contract, if implemented quite well, it can be really helpful not only for suppliers, but also for client companies and also for end customers. So, for example, for end customers, because different suppliers can innovate together and to integrate their skills and capabilities, so the end customers can get the best solutions and services. And for client companies, in many cases in outcome-based contracts, the suppliers will take responsibility and the related risks that were previously taken by the client company so that the client company can share risk with the suppliers. And from the supplier's perspective, because it is measured against the outcomes, so it has some kind of flexibility to choose the best solution among many possible solutions. So this flexibility will incentivize suppliers to innovate and come up with the best solutions to be delivered.
But if I'm a supplier and I know there are other suppliers to my client, I might think I've got to compete with them. Should suppliers team up with one another to create innovation clusters for the company that contracts them?
Well, for outcome-based contract, it is not a necessity for these suppliers to team up together to create kind of innovative cluster, but the benefits of doing so are quite obvious. So as I just said, the traditional contract approaches make it difficult sometimes for the suppliers to share information and share knowledges, but if they can team up together, and not only limited to that, if they can also team up with the client company to form a strategic alliance, and then they can jointly deliver the solutions and services to end customer, they can innovate together and they can integrate their skills and foster innovation.
And so whose responsibility is it to push start this innovation amongst suppliers? How engaged should they be with one another if they're not supposed to be competing?
If they form this kind of strategic alliance, so partners in the strategic alliance, they are highly engaged with each other. So in fact, in the strategic alliance, the boundaries between firms and among firms are fading away to a large extent. So staff coming from different parent companies, but they all work under the same roof of the alliance, and they are highly engaged with each other.
these old barriers are beginning to be broken down?
Oh, yes. There are several ways we can do this. So in the study, we identified three key themes that firms need to work on to foster this kind of collaborative working together. These three themes are commercial solutions and operational design and collaboration. So first of all, they will need to design the commercial solution that can be mutually accepted by all partners. And this kind of commercial solution should also incentivize performance and incentivize all the partners to deliver outcomes. And the second thing is collaboration is really important because only with collaboration can they start to integrate their skills and capabilities. And also they will not behave defensively or aggressively in the alliance. And also the final thing is the operational design. So basically they need to design the practices that can ensure the smooth operations of the alliance.
And I suppose the contractor could get everybody together in a room, could just basically say, well, let's team you all up together.
Yes, so the contract is really important here in the outcome-based contract here. Basically, one characteristic is that the boundaries between capital expenditure and operational expenditure are fading away. So the focus is total expenditure. So that comes together with the shift from output to outcome. So basically, if you want to deliver an outcome, there are many solutions you can choose. Some of them are capital investment solutions and some of them are operational solutions. The partners in the alliance, they should not be incentivized to deliver one over another. But this could be really difficult because some companies, they tend to deliver capital investment solutions due to the nature of the company. So to solve that problem, a risk and reward sharing mechanism is very important. That is how the reward and the benefit can be shared among partners based on their contributions and how the risks can be shared among partners based on their accountability and responsibility, and also how the outcome KPIs can be transferred from the client company to the whole strategic alliance. That is, to what extent the alliance can be measured against the end outcome to deliver to the end customers. And also, a benefit realization framework can also help to solve any potential conflicts between financially the return on investment and the outcome to be delivered to the end customers. So this can also help.
Xingzheng, your paper, Supplying Innovation, Unlocking Innovative Behaviours in the Supply Chain, it was co-authored with people from industry too. Can you say a bit more about your co-authors and their backgrounds?
I worked closely with my co-authors. The case we looked at is in the utility industry, in the water industry. So the background of this case is that in water industry, every 5 years, it is a regulatory period. So in the new regulatory period, starting from last in 2015, the regulator is directing the industry to be first outcome-based and second to be customer-focused. So the water companies are incentivized to deliver outcomes and also the customer satisfaction and customer experience are paid emphasis on. So these changes give challenges to the water companies to innovate together with their suppliers. In that situation, many water companies are trying to use the strategic alliance model to engage suppliers together. And I worked closely with my co-authors. They all come from IBM. So IBM, we all know it has strong innovation capabilities. So it was brought in the project as an innovator.
You say the water industry is becoming outcome rather than output focused, and that IBM is an innovative company, so it can teach best practices for innovation to others. Was there anything that surprised you about the research? Did they enjoy their interaction with one another?
This is a really interesting case because of there are two big changes. The first is the change from output to be outcome. And the second change is to form this big strategic alliance among different partners. And these partners, they come from different industries. And also, they sometimes previously they were competitors. And some of them are still competitors outside this alliance. So it's really interesting case to see how companies work together in this strategic alliance, bearing in mind they have different background.
These contractual relationships, they are incredibly complex and the relationships are global.
The contractual relationships are really complex here. As I said, they are trying to develop the risk and reward sharing mechanism and they are trying to build the benefit realization framework. So all these measures can help to solve this complex contractual relationship. And also in the alliance, they start to build trust and collaboration within this strategic alliance.
Trust and collaboration, are they key words?
Yes, trust is terribly important, as you said. Especially these companies, they have quite diversified background and they come together. So only if they have trust, they can start to share their knowledge and share their expertise and capabilities, and they will not behave defensively or aggressively. And also they can share data and information. So as you said, trust is really important here.
And the other thing you said was collaboration.
The trust is one important element in building collaboration, but you can also, there are other elements. So for example, to build the collaboration, you need to have clear strategic objectives so that these objectives can be achieved together with these partners. Also, these objectives can also be passed down in the strategic lines and to influence everybody's behaviors. And the other thing you can do is, for example, the communication is really important. So you need to have a consistent and efficient communication in the alliance. You can try training sessions to deliver the concept of outcome and to deliver the concept of collaboration, etc. So, and also they can build an organizational culture in the strategic alliance, because these partners, they come from different industries and they have their own organizational culture. If you can take the best of it and form a collaborative and innovative organizational culture here in the strategic alliance, then that would be very good.
What are the four crucial points of action that you identify that can encourage collaborations? You talk about four essentials for collaboration to thrive.
Yes, so these four essential points are strategic objectives and organizational culture and trust and educational communications. So you need to embed the strategic objective in the strategic alliance, and also you will need to build the organizational culture, which is collaborative and innovative, and also engage trust among all the partners. And finally is educational training communication sessions to deliver the concept of outcomes.
The contractual relationships, they will vary between partners, will they?
Well, they will try to bring all the partners under the same model of outcome-based model. So that's really a challenge here, because partners have different business models and conflicts might arise if they are brought in the same outcome-based model. That's one big challenge.
And the major obstacles?
The two major things here is the shift from output to outcome and also the formation of the alliance. So the major obstacles come from these two points. From the shift from output to be outcome, the major obstacle would be, as I just said, they have different business model and conflicts can rise if they are brought in the same outcome-based model. And also if we look at the whole industry, if the whole industry is still output-based, then the suppliers may not have the capability and the confidence to be contracted on outcome. And the other obstacle would be from the point that they are forming a strategic alliance, because they have very diversified background, so the trust here is very difficult to build.
And what about incentives? If you offer the right incentives, can it encourage the collaborations?
Yes, it is sometimes always easy to say we need to engage trust, we need to engender collaboration. But in everyday operations, it's never as easy and straightforward, you know. So the collaboration should be embedded and achieved through operations and reflected in behaviors. There are certain measures that companies can take. So for example, as I just said, the educational communication, the training sessions can be quite helpful to deliver the concept of outcome and collaboration. And also they can design the data sharing and information sharing platforms that facilitate the integration of skills and knowledge. And also data and information can flow efficiently here. But also the data security need to be addressed. There are some other measures. So for example, they can try to embed the collaboration into all processes. They can design decision-making processes that can facilitate the collaboration. And also they can design the culture change processes and say how to change the organizational culture to be collaborative.
I suppose that must give confidence to the suppliers, whoever they are, big or small, to know that you've got experts on hand who know about the data and the copyright issues. But that underpinning of knowledge and what you should do when must be incredibly enabling for these suppliers.
I can feel the confidence in the strategic alliance because of the accumulated capabilities and knowledge. They are bringing in a lot of capabilities from companies in different industries, and companies have different capabilities, so that really gives them confidence.
You conclude by saying, it's expected that the innovation approaches will help companies to more easily meet regulators' expectations. There are real challenges and barriers, but the challenges, they can be surmounted.
It is a quite new business model, and there's few examples we can learn from. People are trying really hard to see how to work this well, how to implement this business model, and I really have confidence for the success of the alliance.
Xingjiang Hao, thanks for talking to the Cambridge Service Alliance podcast series today. Congratulations on your research. We're looking at your report, Supplying Innovation, Unlocking Innovative Behaviours in the Supply Chain, and it was co-authored with Keith Wishart, Jonathan Baker-Bryan and Claire Vine, and they can find it on your website.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.